If you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to be finishing chapter 2 this morning. Has anybody enjoyed this series that we've been walking through, Timothy? Am I the only one? Man, it has been such a great series. I feel like God's revealing so many different things to us that we can apply in our personal life and also as a church. Now, let me just give you a quick little recap on what we talked about last week. Last week, we saw Paul handing his son Timothy, his son in the ministry. We literally see him passing the torch. We see Paul helping and encouraging Timothy as he was having a little bit of trouble leading his church. He was having some dissentment that was coming from false teachers. And last week, we talked about Paul as he gave us a few reminders. The first one that we talked about is he tells us we are to stop quarreling, because when we quarrel, it creates dissension among the church. He says we are to avoid godless chatter, because what it is useless talk. And we talked about how we are to present ourselves to God as one approved. He says we are his solid foundation, and that the Lord knows who are his. Now this morning, I want to jump right into the text, because we're going to pick up right where we left off from last week. And in this first few verses, what Paul does is he paints us a picture that I believe is going to set the whole stage for this morning as we dive into this text. So we're going to start in verse 20. And as we read this, I just want you to paint this picture with me as Paul speaks to us. Start in verse 20. It says, in a large house, there are articles, not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. He says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. So what we see here is we see Paul painting this picture for us of a house. And he says in that house, there are two different types of objects. There are those types of objects that are made of gold and silver for special use. These are the things that we want people to see when they come to our house. And then there are those things that are made for common use. The things that typically we wouldn't want it to be the first thing that people see as they walk into our house. Now I want to ask you a question. When you have company over to your house, does anybody have, do any of you ladies like to collect any fine china? You see, in my house, we have a bunch of these fine china plates, and I think it's kind of funny because we only use them about 3 times a year, okay? We use them at Christmas, Thanksgiving, and when we have company. Now, myself, I'm personally a paper plate kind of guy because I do the dishes, and with paper plates, I don't have to clean them. I can throw them away when we're done. But my wife, she says, no, 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 no. She says, we got to get out the fancy stuff. We got to get out the fine china. And you see, Paul's saying, he's saying, hey, look, there are some things in a house that are made of gold and silver for special use and special purpose. And then he says that there are those things for common use, things like a trash can. You see, a trash can, its purpose is to collect trash. But because of that, it stinks, and sometimes it needs to be cleansed and cleaned out. Now, I don't know about you guys, but whenever we have company at my house, 10 minutes before the guests get there, it's like chaos. It's like you go through the magic checklist. It's like, okay, clean the bathroom, make sure there's toilet paper, make sure the dog didn't poop anywhere, make sure you sweep the floor, go through the house. And so, you know, is anybody related with me here? Do you guys do the same thing? You just run around like a bunch of chickens with your head cut off? Yeah, we do that too. And my wife's giving me orders and all this stuff. And so she's getting out the plates and getting out the cups. And you see, I like to do dishes, but I don't like to do them the old-fashioned way. I like to put them in the dishwasher. So we're getting ready, and my wife's like, Joseph, what's wrong with these plates? I'm like, I don't know. You told me to clean them. I put them in the dishwasher. I don't know. And she's like, these plates are filthy. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? You put the dishes in the dishwasher, and it's supposed to clean them, but it always doesn't do the job well. And it's kind of mucky, and there's still kind of dirt, and in the cups. She's like, the cups are all nasty. She says, we can't give these dirty cups and plates to our guests. They are unclean. See, God says to us sometimes, he says, hey, look, I have created you for a special purpose. And I want to use you because you have all the makings to be a great leader for my kingdom. But sometimes you make it hard for me to use you because you are unclean. So this morning, I want to talk about how we can become clean vessels so that we can allow God to use us. And just in this series, as we see Paul passing the torch to Timothy, you see this whole first two chapters, what he's been doing is he's been teaching him how to be a leader. He says, Timothy, God has placed and planted you at this church of Ephesus for a specific reason and for a specific purpose. And he's teaching him what it means to lead and what it means to serve. We here at Burning Bush, we have that same objective. You see, we want to create an environment where we can raise up leaders and gospel co-workers. You see, not people who depend on the pastor to do the work of the ministry, but we want to equip you, the saints, to do the work of ministry because we believe that God has placed and planted you where you are for a special purpose. We believe that God has called me and you to lead. And we want to help you do that. So this morning, that's what we're going to talk about. How we can be a clean vessel so that we can be used by God. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, as we come before you right now, God, we submit our spirits to you. God, through your word, would you speak truth into our lives? In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to break this down piece by piece. We're going to start off in verse 20. And we're going to spend a little bit more of the time this morning in this first section. So look at verse 20 with me. It says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for special purposes and some for common use. Now, depending on what translation you have, some of your Bibles may use different words. Some Bibles may say, instead of articles, it may say vessels. And instead of saying special purposes and common use, some of your Bibles may use the phrase as honorable and dishonorable. So what Paul's doing here is just like we said a minute ago, he's painting a picture of a house. Now we believe this house to be the visible church. And what he's doing, he's saying, hey look, in every house there are vessels. You see, a vessel is a hollow container that is used to carry liquid. And what Paul's doing is he's dividing these two vessels up into categories, just like we did a second ago. He's saying the first one is the honorable vessel, the fine china, the clean plate. You see, this is the type of person who lives a holy and a clean life and allows God to use them, humbly submits themselves to God as one approved. And then the second is what we define as the trash can, the one for honorable use, dishonorable use. This one's made out of wood and clay. You see, this is the type of person that we talked about last week, the person that quarrels, that spews negativity to others, that slanders, that has sin that has taken root in their life. So we have two categories, the dishonorable vessel and the honorable vessel. Let's look at verse 21 as we continue. It says, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes. So the first point that we're going to look at this morning is to be used by God. we must become a clean vessel. We must become clean. This word cleanse literally means to clean out thoroughly. So when he says this phrase, to cleanse yourself from the latter, what do you think he's talking about when he says that word, from the latter? You see, what he's talking about is the dishonorable vessel that we talked about in verse 20. What he's telling us, he's saying, now look, if you're not careful with who you surround yourself with, sin will creep into your life and you won't even realize. He said, don't allow yourself to be influenced by dishonorable vessels. We all know the phrase, bad company corrupts good morals. And it's so true. The people that you do life with, they have an influence and say, and if you surround yourself with bad and dishonorable vessels, that same sin that they're dealing with can spill into your life. I used to be told all the time as a teenager, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, I've created you clean. Man in my own image. You see, what we do is we expose ourselves to sin. And he said, you better be careful. You may think that you got it all together, but let me tell you something, you don't. Because if you put your guard down for 1 second, that sin from the dishonorable vessel can begin to leak into your life. You don't even realize it. That person spewing negativity and jealousy and anger, and what was once a clean vessel has now been tainted by sin. See, what Paul's saying here is he's saying, look, I want to make you a clean vessel, but I cannot do so if there is sin in your life. Notice what he says in the next part. Let's look at verse 21. He says, if you cleanse yourself, you will be instruments or vessels for a special purpose. Now let's pause here and look at this word, special purpose. We know that purpose is the reason for existence, the reason for being created. We know that Jesus' purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. God loved us enough that he said, hey, I'm going to send my son Jesus to come to the earth to die, to make a way between you and the Father. We know that Paul and Timothy's purpose was to spread that gospel, to proclaim that good news. So friends, I ask you this question today. What is your purpose in life? Have you ever stopped and really looked back and reflected at that question of what is my purpose? Why did God create you the way he did, with specific gifts and specific skills? Why did he plant you where he did, in his church, at the job that you work at, in your family? You think this was all just random? God says, hey, look, if you will cleanse yourself before me, I will use you for honorable use. You see, the sole purpose of a vessel is to carry something. You see, its purpose is to carry something and eventually pour into something else. You see, when we become approved by God, like we talked about last week, we become made to carry that same gospel. God says, hey, I've entrusted you. When you come into my life, when I come into your life and you identify with me, you are now entrusted to carry that same gospel. We are all called to lead. This isn't just pastors. This isn't just Sunday school teachers. He's saying all of us. Now, some of you may be saying, you may be sitting back, you know, be like, Joseph, I hear you. I hear that you're telling me that I'm supposed to lead in my home and in my work. But you know, the truth is, you can't see it, but this vessel has cracks. This vessel has scars. Though it may look clean and pretty on the outside, there's sin in my life. And it's taken root. And I don't know what to do. And I don't know where to turn. Some of you may say, you know what? I don't look like that vessel over there. I'm not as skilled or as good looking as they are. I don't have the same qualities. I can't be the same leader that they are. And guys, God is saying today, he's saying, if you will submit yourself to me, I will cleanse you. I will use you because I've created you for a special purpose. You see, we can't know our purpose until we know where our identity lies. Friends, your identity is not found in what you do. You may be a teacher, you may be a doctor, you may be a business owner, you may be a stay-at-home mom. You see, those things are what you do for a living. You do those things to make money, but those things do not define you. You see, when we talked about submitting ourselves to God as one approved, when God's Spirit enters us and He looks down from heaven, you see, before, He saw sinner. But after He came into our heart and saved us, He now sees the blood of Christ that has washed our lives. And we now identify in Him. Amen. Our identity is no longer in our former way of living, but in our new self. And He says, when you know your purpose, this purpose is to carry that same gospel, that same good news. Paul's saying, hey, look, I need you to step up where I've planted you as a teacher, as a mechanic, as a father, as an uncle. I've placed you strategically there so that you can lead and bring others to me. Let's finish verse 21. It says, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes. And he adds these last two words, made holy. See, when we become a clean vessel, I believe four results follow. The first is that we become sanctified. This word sanctified literally means set apart. What it means is we're set apart from our former way of living. Before, we live for ourselves, seeking fame and wealth. But now when we identify in Christ and our purpose is in Christ, we're set aside for new and better purposes. And God's saying, look, he said, I want to make you holy today, but you have to allow me. We use this word holy a lot in church. What does this word holy mean? You can see this on the screen. A.W. Tozer puts it this way. He says, holy is the way God is. To be holy does not conform to a standard. He is the standard. He is absolutely holy with an infinite, incomprehensible fullness of purity that is incapable of being other than it is. Because he is holy, all his attributes are holy. The holy man is one who cannot sin. See, a holy man is one who will not sin. And the true Christian ideal is not to be happy, but to be holy. You see, friends, when we sin, our sin hurts God. It brings a wedge between the relationship. It fractures the relationship. Not only does it hurt God, but it hurts ourselves. It hurts our bodies. Sin hurts our relationships with our spouse and our children and our coworkers. You see, the only thing that can remove sin in your life is Jesus. See, Jesus was the ultimate honorable vessel. Scripture tells us that Jesus went to the cross like a sheep led to the slaughter. And what Paul's saying is, he's saying, look, sanctification can only come through two things. Only comes through two things. God's Word and God's Holy Spirit. See, we know that Jesus is the Word. John 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here at Burning Bush, we believe that if we as Christians can get into the Word, then the Word will then get into us. And by doing that, we are becoming more like God's Son, Jesus. He's saying, hey, look, I've given you my Word to protect you from these things. To protect you from hurt and pain. Because see, God doesn't want us to struggle. He doesn't want us to have to learn the hard way. So many times, we hear people saying, you know what, I had to learn the hard way. God said, hey, if you will follow my word, I've given it to you to lead you and to guide you. He says, I want to make you holy. But guys, in order to be holy, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and to work in our life. That same Holy Spirit that was with David when he slung the rock at Goliath. That same Spirit that was with Moses when he parted the Red Sea. That same Spirit that was with Daniel when he stood in the lion's den. The same Spirit that was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they stood firm in the fiery furnace. And that same Spirit that was with Jesus when he died on the cross and ultimately raised again. He's saying, I've given you that Spirit to help and to encourage. Because people, they're going to fail you. But my Spirit will always be there. We must be sanctified. Look at verse 21. It says, we're to be made holy, useful to the Master, and prepared to do any good work. The second effect of when we become holy and cleansed is we become useful to the Master. See, some of you guys need to hear this today. You are valuable in the eyes of God. Just because you may have some cracks in your life, just because you may have some baggage, God says, hey, look, when you put your faith in me, just like we talked about last week, he says, I've taken my ring and I've stamped you. I've marked you with the seal. You are now my child. I've adopted you as sons and daughters into my family. He says, I've made you in my image. The third one we see is we are prepared to do any good work. That's the third effect. So we talked about being set apart. What is it that we're set apart for? We're set apart for good works. And what this means is that we're called to be available. You see, sometimes in life and in church, we come and we say, you know what, God, I think I'm ready to serve. But, there's always a but there. We say, but, I'll serve, but don't ask me to do it somewhere that makes me uncomfortable. Like, I'll serve over here in this part of the church where my friends are, but God, don't ask me to go to that nursery, okay? Babies, that's just not my thing, okay? Or don't ask me to go to the youth ministry with those hoodlums down. No, I'm just kidding. Don't ask me to go there. God, don't ask me to go witness to my neighbor or to my coworker who can't stand me and I was always gossiping about me. And God said, hey, look, I've prepared you for every good work. Be available. You see, when you follow Christ, he calls you to lead and to serve and to carry that gospel wherever you are. Friends, you know the best way to witness to somebody is not to speak words to them, but to serve them. To show them action, faith in action. That's the best way we can witness and show our faith. Jesus says, serve, give your life away on behalf of others. Look at verse 22. Paul tells us specifically how we're to purify ourselves. He says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness. So the second point that we see here this morning is that to be clean vessels, we must flee from evil and pursue God. So this literally means flee. Run away from danger now. Go. Now you got to remember here, Timothy, he's in his 30s to 40s. So when people see that word evil desires of youth, many times people interpret that phrase as sexual sin. Now, while Scripture indeed teaches that we must avoid this type of sin, the command in this context is not limited just to sexual sin. So what are these youthful passions that he's talking about? Look at verse 23. We're going to skip ahead and we'll come back here in a second. It says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone. So last week, we talked a lot about quarreling. We hit it hard. One of the things that we talked about is how when we quarrel, it breaks the unity in the church. And it allows the enemy into the camp. Now, this is the second time that Paul has brought up this idea of quarreling in this chapter. So obviously, it's a big problem that they're facing. He emphasizes it for the second time. And in 1 Corinthians 1, when he was dealing with the church of Corinth, he said this about them when he faced a similar problem. He said, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you. What I mean is that one of you each says, I follow Paul, and I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. And then he poses a question to him. He says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of elegant wisdom. Don't miss this. Lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Guys, that's thick. What he's saying, hey, look, when you quarrel, you are risking robbing and stripping the cross of its power. In chapter 3, Paul refers to this as a form of godliness with no power. He said, hey, you better be careful. Because if you're not careful, you will be that vessel that quenches the spirit in the church. And as my spirit is moving and working, your quarreling taints the cross. And it strips it of its power. He says, be careful of this. And Paul's also saying here, he's saying, look, don't reduce sanctification to abstaining from one particular sin. See, we do this all the time in life. I'd say most Christians have one or two things that they really, really struggle with. And he's saying, don't be that person that says, you know what, as long as I'm not struggling with this and with this, then the rest doesn't really matter. He's saying, no, don't do that. He's saying, you have to evaluate your whole life. You have to adjust your whole life. You got to evaluate your personal life, the part that nobody sees other than you. He says, you got to evaluate your marriage with your spouse, your relationship with your kids. You got to evaluate everything. Your relationships with your friends, the dishonorable vessels that are bringing sin into your life. See, he's saying that these youthful lusts are things that rob a mature person of his or her discontentment. So he shows us what we're not to pursue. Now let's look at what we are to pursue. Let's look at verse 22, where I believe Paul gives us four cleansing agents. Paul says, I want you to pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace. See, God loved us so much that when he sent his son, Jesus, to the earth, perfect and a spotless lamb, he sent him to take our sin. He says, if you will pursue righteousness, I will make you clean. I will make you new so that you can be used by me. He says, pursue righteousness. Pursue faith. Believe that I can do what I say I can do. Pursue love. Love me. Give your life away for me. Submit to sin for me so that I can make you whole. He says, turn your mind away from sin and meditate on the person and the work of Christ. Folks, today may we savor the Savior. See, what that means is may we taste his goodness. May we taste his kindness and his forgiveness. And may that well up into love. The same love that Jesus showed us on the cross when he forgave us and cleansed us. He says, take that love and pour it into others. Love others. Serve others. He says, if you do this, I will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. See, guys, we must constantly be evaluating our life. This isn't like a one-stop shop. You don't take your car to the car wash once in your life and then boom, it's clean for the rest of your life. No, you got to continually take it. Now, yes, when we become Christians, God washes away our sin, but he says you must continually cleanse yourself. You must be continually looking for sin because we are against this enemy and he's roaring around like a lion seeking to devour. And he's saying, you've got to be aware. You've got to be alert. He says, pursue these things. Look at how he finishes this verse. Along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So what Paul's encouraging is he's saying, hey, look, those who wish to be cleansed, you need to find others of like mind, and you need to do life with them. See, guys, we cannot walk the path of righteousness alone. We need fellow brothers and sisters to come alongside us and hold us accountable. There are men in this church that I have specifically asked to hold me accountable, who I trust and I admire and I look up to, and I hear what they say, so that if I ever get off track, they can come to me and say, "Joseph, you're not you. You're in the flesh right now. You need to rethink this." Or, "Joseph, you are dabbling and quarreling in sin. You better be careful." And Paul said, "Hey, do life with these people. Let's help each other. We're all struggling with the same things." Some of you, you may need to find a person in this church that can look you in the eyes and ask you the tough questions. Let's conclude with verse 25. He says, "Opponents must gently be instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will." So the third and final point that we see here this morning is that we are called to pour into others. So here Paul's saying, "Hey, look, don't worry about winning arguments, but win souls." What is your goal in life? What is your purpose? Your purpose is to carry that gospel. Paul's saying, be gentle with them. Pray with them. Help them. You see, when Jesus set out and Christianity began, he didn't start with the masses. He says, "I'm going to make disciples who make other disciples." This process of multiplication. And folks, some of you, I believe, are ready in your life to begin investing in pouring others. Some of you men, you need to pull a young guy like myself and like some of the others, and you need to say, "Hey, son, this is how you walk in purity. This is how you model holiness. This is what a healthy biblical marriage looks like. This is how you are called to serve in the church." And just as Paul passed the torch to Timothy, we need some men to step up and say, "Hey, I want to help equip you so that you can begin to be served." I challenge you. Go before God and say, "God, who is it that you would have me invest in?" And when you find them, lead them and serve them and invest in them. So this morning, as we conclude, I believe there are three walking points that we can apply this to our life today. The first is that some of you, you may need to meet Jesus for the first time. You see, when God sent his Son, the Bible tells us that he atoned for the sin of the world. He swallowed death. He swallowed sin so that you can have new life. And he wants to make you a clean and honorable vessel. Maybe you've been running from that your whole life. And you say, "You know what, Joseph? Today is the day that I need to be clean for the first time. Because I want to be used by God, but the truth is I've never accepted Christ. I've never chosen to follow him." And if that's you, I challenge you not to hesitate. Don't let sin continue to rule your life, but allow God's Spirit to work. The second is, some of you today, you may need to be cleansed. Some of you today, you may say, "You know what, I used to be a clean vessel, but I let my guard down and sin crept back into my life." And if you're feeling that way, friend, don't feel discouraged, because God is always there to forgive and to love. Find a fellow brother, find a fellow sister and say, "Hey, I'm struggling and I need your help." Don't continue that sin pattern that has been going on from generation to generation. He's saying, "Cleanse yourself so that I can use you and I can make you whole." And then the third is, some of you today, you need to begin pouring into others. And I challenge you to begin to pray and ask God. Say, "God, you know what? I've spent a lot of my life pouring into myself, and it's about time that me and my vessel start sharing and start discipling others." See, guys, that's the beauty in church. That's the beauty of the gospel, as we begin giving back and serving just as Jesus did. Would you pray with me this morning?